In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The last 2 weeks of Lent, which begin today, are traditionally known as Passion Tide. This name denotes the shift in focus of the Church from the prayer and fasting demanded in virtue of discipleship to the more direct consideration of the Lord's passion and death. The custom of veiling the sacred images in the Church allows us to experience a kind of fasting of the eyes, helping us to enter more deeply into the suffering of Jesus, who submitted his own will even to the point where he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In our journey through Lent, we come this Sunday to the final station before resuming our walk with our Lord through his passion, beginning on Palm Sunday through the remainder of Holy Week. The Gospels appointed for this Sunday, in each year of the three-year cycle in the ordinary form, as well as that in the extraordinary form, all point to the final prerequisite to achieving union with God. That is, we all must be willing to give ourselves up even to the point of death. That union between God and man brought about through this death has been termed the unitive way. Having humbled ourselves and renounced our sins, after allowing the Lord to enlighten us and make us more and more his instruments, he will bring us into union with him, if only we die to ourselves and to the world. All of us, of course, will face physical death at one time or another, but in order to achieve true union with God in this life, we must make the choice to die to ourselves each and every day. Our life must imitate our Lord's passion, if not in the sense of violence and physical suffering, then certainly by way of surrendering ourselves completely, with his help, to the divine will. These acts of surrender are not easy, and many, including ourselves, will try to dissuade us from them, often out of a false sense of friendship. Many may laugh at us, condemn us, perhaps even seek to do us violence. Nonetheless, like our Lord, we must set our face like flint toward Jerusalem, toward the cross. All through the Gospels, the Lord's disciples and others are constantly trying to dissuade him from undergoing his passion. And his response is swift, decisive, and harsh. We see this especially when, after Jesus describes what will happen to him, Peter replies, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." At which point, the Lord rebukes him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And through the history of the Church, those who have given their lives in martyrdom have experienced similar efforts at dissuasion, often from those who appear to be friends. In the early second century, St. Ignatius of Antioch was being led to Rome in chains to be fed to the lions. When the Roman Christians sought to save him, which would have required his renunciation of the faith, he said, "I am afraid of your love, lest it should do me an injury. For it is easy for you to accomplish what you please, but it is difficult for me to attain God. If you do not spare me, pray then, do not seek to confer any greater favor upon me than that I be sacrificed to God." In more recent history, Saints Francisco and Jacinta Marto, the younger of the three visionaries of Fatima, died as victims of the 1918 Spanish flu at ages 10 and 9, respectively. When others, including their parents, tried to ease their sufferings, they refused, desiring to imitate Jesus on the cross, who of course refused the wine and the vinegar meant to numb his pain. And then there was the 14-year-old St. Jose Sanchez del Rio, whose battle cry in the Mexican Civil War of the 1920s was, "Viva Cristo Rey." When captured, his own parents urged him to obey the government authorities, who promised to release him if only he would say, "Death to Christ the King." Of course, he did not take the easy way, but remained on the way of the cross. All of us have different points in our lives when we're faced with the prospect of an extremely unpleasant experience, perhaps even the prospect of terrible suffering. And all of us at some point will meet the prospect of our own death. What is our reaction when anticipating or experiencing these sufferings? None of us enjoys it, yet all of us have to endure it. It is the condition of fallen humanity. Our Lord says, "It was for this purpose that I came to this hour." Could we say, then, that God wills suffering? Well, of course not. But God does will that every person love and love perfectly. And how do we do that? The Lord himself tells us, love one another as I have loved you. From the beginning, we've been called to a life of total self-gift. It's only after the fall that our efforts in this respect become difficult and thus involve suffering. But it is only in that suffering that we will find union with God. This teaching of our Lord is impossible to accept if we think like the world. The world sees suffering and death as the worst things that can befall us. And yet, when we know the reason why we were created, to love as God loves, suffering and death, in addition to all the disappointments and inconveniences of life, all of it is made quite bearable. Indeed, the Lord tells those who would follow him, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Whatever we may be faced with, difficulties and burdens, large or small, let us not simply seek to avoid them, but accept and even embrace them, as the Lord inviting us to share in his cross. Jesus alone has redeemed us, but as members of his body, he desires all of us to be co-redeemers with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.